core of humiliation is putting down, holding down, making helpless. Shame is something you agree with. Humiliation is something you do not agree with. You think it's something, a violation, something you shouldn't accept in a human rights context.
They were very serious, and, you know, the people were killed. I'm talking, you know, kind of 1995, 96, 97. These years, every single year, like clockwork, the parade would happen, and hundreds of people would hit the streets and riot and fight each other and throw petrol bombs, and, you know, people would be killed and set lots of businesses destroyed. And what you happened on a yearly basis was literally, it was like literally the heart of the city was getting cut out because it was causing so much damage and pain.
It's something similar to the doors of hotels, if you know them, the ones that go around. But it's not made of glass or anything, it's just metal and like spikes. You have to queue for hours, then you go through metal detectors. You have to take every metallic item off, and if you keep beeping, then they will take you for further, more detailed search. In other words, strip searched. After that, you have to go for an ID check. They take your ID card and they check if you're wanted or not. They don't even go through the trouble of having the entire ID number of the one they want, the person they want. They only stick to the last four digits. And believe me, many people share the same last digits. Myself, I had that problem. I shared the last four digits with a wanted guy. So whenever I went through checkpoints, I was detained for a long time till they checked that I wasn't that guy.
As the parade approached Dunkern, bricks, bottles, stones and bolts were thrown over the wall from the Nationalist New Lodge area. It's reported that several people received minor injuries, and at least one police officer was struck on the leg with a rock.
One of the biggest security force ever, though, was here in Ardoyne, North Belfast, one of the city's major flashpoints recently, and the scene of major rioting last year.
Petrol bombs, bricks, bottles and other missiles rained down on the stretch of road near Lanark Way. The violence followed a day of tension in the area. Protesters, angry at orangemen parading further up the road, clashed with police.
I think that growing up in Northern Ireland is just, I mean, the kind of creates a tribal mentality. And it's hard to get away from, and even though, I would consider myself a moderate nationalist, and I don't have a particularly strong view comparatively to other nationalist Republicans about parades or about the Orange Order. But even then, when I hear that music, it does make a kind of part of me quite angry. The parades themselves create a lot of bitterness in the nationalist community. And to what, I mean, the Orange Order would say, and Protestants, they're celebrating their culture, but their culture was just putting their, you know, two fingers in our face every year. And I lived in Belfast for 4 or 5 years, and I lived around near to quite some hardcore loyalist areas, and around this time of year, they'd be out, you know, and you'd hear the lambang drums and the fifes and the pipes, and they'd be quite annoyed as well, because it's not just a one-off parade, it's a season. It's, you know, it's from May to June, you hear this music, and this is their culture, but it comes with all this emotional and conflicting baggage, and hopefully in future years, maybe the Orange Order and the people of Northern Ireland will be able to separate those things and to say, well, it is culture, and the violence in the past, and the hanger on, the people who come along just to cause trouble or just to be triumphant about their communities. Hopefully that won't exist, but for now it does, and it's going to take some time before that ever changes.
You could reconcile families that were in conflict, except when there was humiliation. This was the biggest obstacle. People who had humiliated each other really deeply did not want to cooperate anymore. So they then dug out resource problems and gave it a label, or ethnical differences or religious differences. But these were secondarily dug out. They were not the primary source. The primary source was humiliation, and because of humiliation, cooperation was not chosen, but confrontation. And this confrontation then was somehow labeled with all kinds of labels, cultural, ethnical, whatever, religious labels. So, and these labels were secondary. They were not primary. What was primary was perhaps resource scarcity, and then humiliation, unwillingness to cooperate, and then confrontation under labels that were sometimes even arbitrary.
Well, this is a protest close to the village of Belayne. You can hear tear gas being fired by Israeli forces.
He was shot in the chest with a tear gas canister. Later that day, Bassem died of the injuries he'd sustained.
A small crowd has just reassembled here as close as they can get to the barrier, because what happened just a couple of minutes ago was that some Palestinians on this side started throwing stones towards the Israeli army just about 100 metres the other side of the barrier. The Israeli army responded with a volley of tear gas grenades that sent the crowd scattering and sent some people tumbling injured to the ground.
The Israelis now control about 40% of what's left of the West Bank. The wall already took some. You have the settlements all over the West Bank, and all the roads that lead to settlements, and the settlements are in every corner in the West Bank, are controlled by the Israelis. So we're left with almost nothing. It's just like concentration camps, small clusters of Palestinians living in towns and villages close to each other. And even those towns and villages are separated with roads controlled by the Israelis. Back in 2006, I had an exam at the university, and all the checkpoints surrounding my town into Nablus, where I study, were closed. So me and a bunch of my friends, we had to go hiking through the mountains. So as we were walking, there was an Israeli jeep hiding between the trees. They ambushed us. We were all detained for a while. They let all my friends go, and they just kept me. When you're detained, you're not allowed to do anything. I remember I pulled out my iPod and I was listening to some music, and he just came in and yanked the speakers off the headset. He just ripped it apart and threw it back to me. A while later, I began writing my diaries. He came and took the notebook out of my hands. So after about 3-4 hours, I just had it. I went to him and I told him I'm leaving, turned my back and left. He began yelling at me in Hebrew and asking me to come back. I was like, listen, if you want to arrest me, just arrest me. You want to let me go? I'm leaving. I have an exam and I must go. And he asked me, what about your ID card? I was like, keep it with you. I don't want it. He asked me, why do you want to leave again? I was like, I have an exam and I must leave. Now, me using the word must, I still till now remember exactly his response by word, what he said to me. And I'm quoting here. The only thing you must do is listen to everything I tell you to do and do it exactly the way I say it. At this moment, you must consider me to be your God, and what I say is your Holy Quran, and you must obey, you piece of shit. Eventually, he just let me go, and he actually asked me if I'd like to know why he detained me. And for sure, I wanted to know, and it turned out that he detained me because he thought that my shirt didn't go very well with my pants. I needed a darker shade of blue for a shirt. When this soldier tells you, I must consider him to be my God, it shows you how much power and authority they have. To see himself as a God over me, he could do anything he wants. He could have shot me, arrested me, do anything he wants, and no one would ask him why. And he doesn't have to explain himself or his acts to anyone. They will not be questioned for it. They will not go to courts for it. And even if they did, if you were persistent and you managed to get the name of the soldier and persecute him, nothing would happen. Nothing.
I I'm in a way no longer linking my identity to a national identity where the nation is defined by land. I do not link my identity to the possession of land, because as we see in the Middle East, for example, what happens if two peoples require and say, okay, this piece here, this piece of land here is my land and not your land, and if both say that, there's no way out. I'm in a very similar situation, that my parents lost land and I could be there now and could be a farmer in what is today Poland, and my father and also my mother, they have been expelled from this land after the Second World War when Germany lost, and they are still today, 60 years later, deeply traumatized and wish to go home every day. So it's very similar to the people, the Palestinians in Jenin camp, who wish to go home to Haifa. And even the second and third generation would be loyal to this identification. Or for 2,000 years, the Jewish diaspora wished to go home to Jerusalem. So I could now instigate violent uprising against Poland and to get my father's land back. And only then I would somehow be loyal to his pain and to his culture, because his Silesian culture and my mother's Silesian culture is dying now with them. And I'm betraying them. So I have a dilemma here. Either I betray my parents and their history, or I choose war. And I have made the decision to choose peace and betray my family's culture, which is and history and aspirations and desires and pain. And I understand when other people find it difficult to make this choice, this very, very hard choice. But I think if we want peace on this globe and want to safeguard this cooperation that we need to solve our global challenges, we have to go the way I go.
This year, for the first time ever, on the 12th of July, the city centre of Belfast is going to be open. Shops are going to be open. Now that's a kind of incredible thing. To someone who doesn't know Northern Ireland or experience it, they might think it's strange that every year the city centre and the capital is a ghost town. But that's the truth of the 12th of July, and has been forever. This is the first year ever that shops are actually going to open. They're going to try and actually bring a trade into the city during the 12th of July. And it's a decent idea, but for someone from Northern Ireland, I'm skeptical as to what that happened, because that's just the kind of mind frame that people have about the 12th of July, about the parade season. If you follow the parades, you go out and you have a good day, but if you don't, you stay in the house. It's literally, Catholics don't leave the house on parade day unless they want to go up and start trouble.
We know this land. We know every small dirt roads, goat road in the mountains that we could take. If someone wants to go from point A to point B within the West Bank, there is nothing the Israelis can actually do to prevent him from going from point A to point B, no matter how many checkpoints they placed. It's counterproductive, and it only aims to harass the Palestinian people and prevent them from having a normal life.
Human rights are very young as a dominant normative frame. And especially leaders are often embedded in the old honor code, and it's difficult to somehow move out of that. Not only the personal so individual psychology of a leader, but also the electorate. They elect a leader to defend their in-group, their community, against others. And so very, very quickly the honor worldview seeps in. And it is forgotten that in an interdependent, interconnected world, it is no longer possible to really win over an enemy, as it was, in fact, possible in the past. There were victories in the past. Today, victories cannot really be won anymore because of interconnectedness of this world. But this is kind of new, novel historic situation. If we look back, it is not long ago that we know that there is one planet, that everything is interconnected. The reality of this interconnectedness was always there, but we as humankind have only slowly understood what it means. And so all this is very, very new, and it takes time to learn that, and it takes time to adjust institutions. I think as long as we have a world partitioned, fragmented into nation states, it is difficult to exit from this old worldview.